Hello and welcome to the Hoop Collective Podcast. We talk about the NBA, which we're doing late on Thursday evening, early Friday morning, I guess. Joining us from New York City, where he was at the Garden tonight, where it was rocking for the Knicks' ninth consecutive win, despite being down quite a few players. Jalen Brunson gets named to the All-Star team, then drops 40 on Indiana. Tim Bontemps.
Hello, guys. Yeah, I don't think there's a higher popularity rating for maybe anybody in New York City right now, certainly among athletes, than Jalen Brunson.
Jalen Brunson, then just a little bit of space, Deuce McBride, right?
Listen, you could probably put every guy on the Knicks right now. Just the Garden loves hard-nosed teams. This Knicks team, we'll talk more about them, but it's the definition of a hard-nosed team led by Jalen Brunson, who never shows any emotion and almost was crying on the court.
I wouldn't say almost. MVP. There was water in those eyes, baby.
Yeah. He was getting MVP chance after making the All-Star team. It was pretty cool. Pretty cool night at the Garden.
Joining us still in Minneapolis. Holy Moses. Is he moving up there in February? Ben McMahon.
Howdy, partners. I tell you what, man. It's just been nice weather.
It has been nice,
here,
actually. I walked my dog in shorts tonight.
People up here are so friendly. I can't wait to go back to Dallas, though, where I know everybody misses me.
By the way, they're Cozy Earth shorts, part of our new sponsorship here.
Ooh-wee.
At the Hoop Collective, and they are nice. That's an unfettered, unrequested endorsement there.
I do believe I have a package waiting on me upon my return home. I'm looking forward to.
You should. If you got shorts, you should be looking forward to it because they are very nice. All right. So Bontemps, the Knicks with 9 straight wins. They get 2 All-Stars named today, Julius Randle and Jalen Brunson. Some news on Randle with his shoulder injury. Just wanted to know if you could take us through that and just what the scene is like over there at the Garden right now.
Yeah, so Julius Randle going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks with this dislocated shoulder. Tom Thibodeau got asked by our old pal Ian Begley if they could rule out surgery, and he sort of said, I don't know what's going on with that. And I think it's noteworthy that it took several days for there to be even this update on Julius Randle. I think he was getting a bunch of opinions one way or the other. I'm not sure. But, you know, as you've said, these shoulder injuries are tricky, especially with the guys we know like Julius Randle, maybe outside of Giannis, the most physical player in the league, certainly at a forward spot. So we will see what that looks like in the coming weeks. But no Giannis, no Quentin Grimes, no Mitchell Robinson, no Julius Randle. Does not matter. The Knicks play the Pacers. They can't hit a shot the entire game. They're down most of the game. Also doesn't matter. Jalen Brunson, really a guy who never lets anybody see any emotion at all. He clearly was angry about foul calls all game. He was very demonstrative with the officials, which he usually is not. And gets hit in the face with 2 minutes to go, clearly, by Andrew Nembhard. Gives up a layup to put the Knicks down. Looks like maybe things aren't going to go his or the Knicks' way. He comes down, immediately gets an and-one on the next possession. Misses the free throw, leads to another bucket. It was sort of a storybook night. Mentioned before about his reaction after the game on the court. And it's just like, you know, this Knicks team, we've talked about them a bunch, but it's built in the image of their coach. They just show up with a lunch pail and work every day. And Tibbs, who, as we know, is not exactly a sentimental guy or emotional guy publicly.
Well, his emotions are all one direction. There's only one emotion.
Yes. But I asked him about Jalen Brunson making the All-Star team and the scene after the game. And, you know, Tibbs, as we know, has known Jalen since he was a very small kid. And I thought it was pretty telling how he started talking about, even when Jalen was a little kid, he would come to the games and be mimicking Latrell Sprewell and Allen Houston and Patrick Ewing. Didn't mention Rick Brunson. Thought that was noteworthy. Mentioned every other guy on those Knicks. But he was like a parent talking about Jalen making the All-Star team, and said, there's always been naysayers at every step of the way, and this guy has always proved him wrong.
That's true.
At every turn.
And that's true.
You can just see how much the Knicks love Jalen Brunson within the locker room. All those guys were super happy for him to not only make the All-Star team, but to play the way he did today. And it's
Was he doing any liaising? Was there any liaison?
He did. Tibbs was freaking out after a turnover in that last minute, and Brunson basically told him, hey, chill out, I got this. Then went to Precious Achiuwa and said, my bad, and calmed things down. He definitely did.
It's quite a scene at the Garden every game right now. And, you know, you got Mike Walchuski on the microphone going crazy when he's making these plays. And you mentioned Deuce McBride. He has stepped in and been great. He had a bunch of shots to help turn this game around today. Dante DiVincenzo didn't make a ton of shots today, but made a couple huge ones down the stretch when it mattered. Crowd's loving it. Got LeBron and AD coming here on Saturday on national TV to play 8:30 on Saturday night against the Knicks. Crowd is going to be absolutely lit.
To maybe play those two.
Well,
maybe the Lakers don't need them.
That's right. Maybe they don't need them. But I'm sure the crowd will be completely lit on Saturday. And like you said, 9 in a row, 15-2 since the start of the year. People here are in love with the team and love with Jalen Brunson. It's awfully fun to watch.
It did help the Knicks that Tyrese Halliburton is still on a minutes restriction. Only played 22 tonight.
Yes, didn't play in the fourth quarter. They also are down four of their top eight players today.
He came to the game wearing...
Wendy, you cannot give fashion advice. You can't do this.
I can on this one.
It's some kind of crazy like leather trench coat.
No. The trench coat, I'm glad he was wearing the trench coat because it covered up the leather, the all leather.
I think Tyrese has slightly better fashion sense than you.
He does, but this one was a foul.
He doesn't. He has more expensive fashion sense. But it's
this was a foul.
He wears a lot of ugly stuff. I mean, he does.
He was wearing a diarrhea colored all leather outfit. What do you want me to say? That's what it was colored. And it was a rare L for Tyrese Halliburton on the day he was named All-Star. Or I guess he was named All-Star last week.
I was going to say, he was an All-Star a week
ago. Don't wear that during All-Star weekend. Jeez.
By the way, what do you think is going through Rick Carlisle's mind while Jalen Brunson, the guy who he demoted during his last playoff series with the Mavericks, Trey Burke was getting minutes over Jalen Brunson in Rick Carlisle's last playoff series. And Rick talking pregame, all the haters and detractors have always been down on him. It's like, Rick, you're the one who pulled the plug on him in a game 7.
Well, I was going through Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic's mind today. That's more what I would like to know than Rick Carlisle.
Jason Kidd, too. You know,
But here's the thing. It was already over by then. Like, he was already a Knick by then.
By when?
Or that was in his last year? I thought it was his last year.
No, that was in his second season. That was the year before.
Oh, the year before.
Third and sixth.
Oh, Carlisle's last year. Right. Yeah. Okay, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then, by the way, don't, it was, the Mavericks didn't make a tough decision. They did. Here's a, no, don't let the Maverick, don't let Mark Cuban and the Mavericks off the hook. They never made a difficult decision. They said, the Knicks are offering you that. We ain't coming close. Good luck. So,
well, yeah, I mean, they did have to pay a second round pick for tampering. I think that.
Yeah, boy. Ooh, really regret that one.
best second round pick they've made in a long time.
Yeah. The best second round pick the Mavericks made was Jalen Brunson.
Look, one of the things that's important in the NBA, and everybody has their wins and losses, you go to the best executives and they have wins and losses, is evaluating the talent of your own players.
Yeah.
Not only do you have to evaluate the talent of, you know, draft picks, evaluate the talent of guys and other teams, evaluate the talent of your own players. That's super duper important because, you know, sometimes you overvalue your own players and sometimes you undervalue them. I think all fans can sort of appreciate that.
By the way, tonight, the Knicks had three guys, Precious Achiuwa, Isaiah Hartenstein, and Josh Hart, out-rebound the Pacers by themselves, which I think sums up the way this team is playing at the moment. They are, as Will Hardy said the other day, he said it about Isaiah Hartenstein, but it really goes to the Knicks as a whole. They are relentless from top to bottom.
Yeah, so the question will be how long they're going to have to start Precious Achiuwa and Hartenstein as their starting front court and whether that will catch up with them. So they didn't have OG Anunoby. He'll come back. I guess he'll probably start at 4, so it won't be Achiuwa.
Yes, he will start for Precious Achiuwa once he's able to play.
You have Hart start at 3, I guess, or you could start him with the forwards.
Josh will start with with OG whenever OG
because
comes
Precious
back.
Achiuwa played 43 minutes tonight. Obviously Tibbs likes him.
Yeah.
You know, Tibbs likes you when he plays you into the ground. It's his love language.
Yes.
But it will be interesting to see if the Knicks have, they haven't felt the loss of Mitchell Robinson and they haven't felt the loss of Julius Randle yet.
Well, as we talked the other day, they're down 4 rotation players today and Evan Fournier didn't play. I think it's safe to say that Evan Fournier is going to be turned into some player Tom is going to play between now and next
Thursday. I think they're trying to do that, but I wouldn't say it's safe to say that.
You know what
I'm going to say it now. They're going to turn him into some player Tom will play between now and next Thursday.
Yeah, Fournier, it's actually French for trade exception.
It is not French for that. And if you look up what it's French for, you're going to be very upset.
You don't want to do that.
Google it.
But especially with the injuries the Knicks have, I'll bet that Evan Fournier is not on the team and he has been turned into a player by then.
Well, as we talked about the other day, they don't necessarily have to do that. They have to make a decision on which direction they're going to go. But, you know, the one thing about, by the way, Jackson chimes in, that was awesome for the Knicks to get OG Anunoby in the Precious Achiuwa trade. they do have to make a decision on whether or not they want to dip into their asset pool to do that. Also, Randall's going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. One thing worth pointing out is that one of those weeks, there's not going to be any games.
That's right.
The All-Star game
that he's probably going to miss.
Oh, he ain't going to be playing in that. Adam Silver's going to be having 2 injury replacements in the Eastern Conference, one for him and one for Joel Embiid, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, yeah.
On both counts.
Right, and one of the guys who has a chance to get one of those, Jared Allen, got dinged up in the Cavs win tonight over
Memphis. The windy lobbying
campaign. There it is.
A subtle start to the Jared Allen lobbying campaign.
I don't think it was very subtle, pal.
He had his 17th consecutive triple-double.
You know what? I think that
17th consecutive triple-double? Let's settle down
what
with
I
that.
Said, double, I'm double, sorry. Double-double.
Hold on. Let me double-check. I believe they took away a rebound. Yeah.
Oh, they did?
14-9.
Wow.
Oh, hey, look at Wendy. He's trying to inflate some stats. He's giving him an extra rebound. Wendy, let's at least, hey, we can make a solid case for the guy without inflating his stats. Come on, bud.
The Cavs have won 13 of 14, and he's got triple or double doubles in 13
of
them.
Did it again.
I know.
This guy.
Obviously a Freudian slip.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and on the Ways to Win podcast, coaches Craig Robinson and John Calipari are here to help. Each week, Craig and Coach Cal use their on-court wisdom to solve your off-court problems. Whether it's trouble at home or a workplace dilemma, the coaches will help you find a winning formula for success. And you'll hear from prominent athletes, business leaders, and celebrities who reveal insights that made them into the leaders they are today. Like President Obama, who breaks down his bracket and talks about how he deals with pressure by projecting confidence, believing in your team, and taking criticism. Listen to Ways to Win wherever you get your podcasts. Now let's talk about the play of the week, the pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely. The Knicks fans got upset at me today because on TV I said that the Cavs were tied with the Bucks in the loss column. And they were like, no, the Knicks are ahead. And I go, yeah, I know.
Don't you hate when people state simple facts without any opinion? I mean,
that's
that
okay.
Really
it just means that
upsets
they're
a lot of. Yes, it's
just that they're passionate.
That's a good way to really get people upset.
And anyway, so keep an eye on that. So the All-Stars were announced on Thursday. The sort of surprise in the league, I think, was that Domantas Sabonis, no Kings, either Sabonis
no
or
Kings.
De'Aaron Fox got in. Mike Brown.
Well, the surprise was that Karl Anthony Towns made it. That was
they made it over them.
Over a bunch of guys.
Honestly, I was surprised that he made it over Rudy Gobert too.
Yeah.
And, Obviously, if you just look at the offensive numbers, then it's no question. But like the Timberwolves are the number one team in the Western Conference, primarily because they're the best defensive team in the league. And Gobert is obviously the best defensive player in the league right now. So that surprised me a little bit. Not that, you know, the Western Conference coaches
read the feature that was on ESPN that ran on Monday on Towns.
And but, hey, listen, Jared Allen's
the windy jinx has been reversed.
Once Wendy's on your case, you know, you're in good shape unless it's for the MVP. And then he had to stab Embiid in the back at the last minute and vote for Joker after lobbying against him the entire time. But yes,
I am not going to take the bait to correct the record. I did vote for Jokic, but I'm not going to take the bait to correct the record.
Like you said, McMahon. I mean, Carl's had a great
baiter.
You certainly are. Carl's had a great year, but I was definitely surprised that he got that final spot. I would have thought Rudy would get the second wall spot over him. I would have honestly thought De'Aaron Fox would have probably got a vote or gotten the spot over either one of them, given he's averaging almost 30 a game. So that was a bit of a surprise, the way that played out.
Sabonis is like not far off from averaging a triple double.
Yeah, Sabonis has been really good, but I think
I think Sabonis is any good. You don't know he's ever been an All-Star.
I think they're going to get. I would have thought that De'Aaron Fox would have been the king that would have been picked. I'm surprised he didn't make it.
I tell you what, after watching the Lakers tonight, I can't believe Austin Reeves was snubbed. The Lakers should have had three. They should have been the first 9 or 10 seed with three All-Stars, in my opinion. No, I was surprised. No Kings. And it's interesting because
Mike Brown was not happy. He gave some quotes to Anstey tonight.
You know, the Wolves were kind of lobbying for Rudy to be their second guy. Not kind of. In Ant's case, I went to Wolves practice today and Ant talked and he was awfully entertaining. He had a lot of funny things to say. But he was asked about All-Stars and, you know, how you'd feel about making it. He was an injury replacement last year. Like, everybody knew he was going to make it. But he said, I could give two Fs, but he said the whole wide word. I could give two Fs, but I really want Rudy to make it for sure. So that was interesting. And Kat was asked about it last night. And, you know, Kat, he gave a longer answer. But essentially what he said was, we're number one in the West, so it's a good time no matter what. Like, I think Kat was kind of bracing to not be an All-Star, but, you know, he's like, hey, man, life is good. I'm not sweating it. Rudy absolutely wanted to be an All-Star. I don't think he hides that he cares about awards and accolades, but they are number one in the West. So, you know, he's a front runner for Defensive Player of the Year, and he's making 40-some-odd million. I think he'll be okay.
Well, you know,
if somebody is going to get two votes, at least it is the two guys. Like, you know, if it is a bit of a surprise, Carl made it. Even if I would have voted for Rudy, it's nice to see the team that's first in the West get a couple guys. Like, they've had a great year. They deserve it.
And there may be another All-Star from the Wolves, and that would be Chris Finch, who I think it's through this weekend, is it? Through this weekend?
Sunday.
So Sunday. I'm pretty sure if they win one more game, they would clinch it, or if like there's a couple of losses by other teams.
It's almost like you read my story. Yes, that is correct.
You use some good words in it.
If they win both their games, he definitely will coach in the All-Star game. If he wins one of them, I think the Thunder could get it if they win both.
And so, said he wanted to hear Chris Finch's press conference. Somebody to ask him about shot selection in the All-Star game.
Well, Chris Finch is one of the best press conferences in the league, and I like that he wears his 1960s style glasses. He brings them out and puts them on in the press conference like he's the professor grading papers.
He has a professorial little vibe.
He does. He does. Chris and I connect on a special level.
What's that?
Which is Ohio State football. And we were very excited talking about the transfer portal the other day when I was.
Were you excited talking about the national championship game this year?
No, we were not. We were talking about the transfer portal. And by the way, Michigan earned it. Like,
okay, you can go to Matt.
We don't need to do that.
Anyway, fine. By the way,
real quick, in the East, just so people, in case
that's
people
what I'm
care,
gonna say Tibbs, watch out for the old Tibbs. The Bucks are on the West Coast.
What? No, you know the best case scenario is the Bucks don't win again, but Doc Rivers is the All-Star coach. That's the best case scenario.
The Bucks, who have lost their first two games at Doc Rivers, lost Wednesday to Portland. If they lose their final two games and the Knicks beat the Lakers, Bucks play in Dallas Saturday and then in Utah Sunday, pretty brutal back-to-back. If they lose both those games and the Knicks beat the Lakers Saturday night, Tibbs will be the All-Star game coach. And if either the Bucks win one of those games or the Knicks lose Saturday, Doc Rivers, who was hired a week ago, will be the All-Star game coach.
No, we need the scenario of the Bucks lose them both, but then the Knicks also lose. We need All-Star snub Austin Reeves to have another big game, because the most hilarious possible scenario is Doc Rivers is winless as the Bucks coach and is on the All-Star bench.
It's going to be a great press release. This happened when Ty Lue replaced David Blatt.
That is true.
He inherited it and took over. By the way, the reason it's second place is because Joe Mazzulla is not eligible because he was the All-Star coach last year.
That's right.
So that's whoever is in second behind Boston will get that. So when you look at the overall All-Stars, there was not that many surprises. I think it was interesting that Paolo Banchero, who's having a great season for the Magic have cooled off a little bit in the second half of the first half. But Banchero's had a terrific season, and it's hard to make your first All-Star team. You kind of gotta, if you don't get voted in, you kind of gotta do it by a touchdown, because you know the voting with the coaches are loath to give second year third year guys their first nod. So like Banchero getting that, and he was he finished he had pretty good votes. I mean the player voting is a scandal. It's just a scandal. Our guy joke. George Niang, did you see this? Our guy George Niang got 15 player votes. from the player votes, he got 15 votes from players for, so it wasn't even just his Cavs teammates. There was Cavs teammates and other people.
Hey,
we love the mini van. He
was
in
Utah. Listen, he's beloved around the league. Come on.
That's right.
Clearly
the minivan.
He's definitely a winner. Definitely a winner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Jackson tells us that Paolo and Shaq are the only two Magic players in history to be rookie of the year and then named an All-Star the following season.
Not bad company for Paolo.
That's not bad at all. Very versatile player. So that was a good thing. Not much of a surprise, but you never.
Well,
quite knew
I much. Was surprised. I was surprised the Celtics and I was surprised Porzingis wasn't an All-Star. I was surprised the Celtics didn't get a third. They have the best record in the league. Now, hard to make that case right now after they just lost to the LOL Lakers, but minus LeBron and AD. But I did think Porzingis would get a nod. And then, listen. I know the Hawks aren't good, but man, Trae Young's got massive numbers for a guy who's not an All-Star.
Trae Young should have been an All-Star for Paolo. I mean, Paolo's had a nice year. I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it, but Trae Young should have made it. Now, he didn't because his team stinks and the coaches didn't vote for it because of that, obviously. But number-wise, it's not debatable.
Well, he's also a polarizing player among...
Yes.
Coaches in particular around the league, I would
and
say.
Players.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, period. But he has had an All-Star caliber season, and for a variety of reasons, was not recognized as such. And yeah, look, if I was picking a second Celtic, I would pick Kristaps Porzingis. Ramona wrote a great story about. No, I'm saying I would have picked him over Jaylen Brown. I mean, Jaylen Brown made it.
Yes.
But
yes.
If you're picking a second guy behind Jason Tatum, I mean, Porzingis has been at least their second best player this year. Rona wrote a really good story about Porzingis' fit with the Celtics today. He's been fantastic from them from day one. Wouldn't shock me at all if he's named as an injury replacement. And also, like, Jimmy Butler is one of the 10 best players in the East. I would have put him on the All-Star team over Paolo also, but he doesn't want to be there.
We know
so
you're not a Paolo fan. We know that. By the way,
I mean, Paolo's, what are you doing? Paolo's a good player. Relax here.
Bam Adebayo also featured in ESPN.com in the last month.
Oh, gracious.
What is this guy doing?
Do you get an All-Star bonus for every guy you write
about? No,
but
clearly. I'm just saying, like, going out there into the field and, doing stories on guys who are
going into the field? What are into the field here?
Oh my God. The only field you're going into is the cornfield in Nebraska. Shut up.
Excuse me, sir. Both of those in
don't
the field.
Don't be telling me and McMahon about going into the field. What are we doing here? Enough. Come on, man. Enough.
Going into the field and you know, pulling important interviews out of these guys that, you know, help their profile as they
listen. That's why Luka keeps getting voted on the All-Star, because I write stuff about him.
So much positive stuff.
Yes.
Listen, Luka didn't need any assistance. He got in, you know, these other guys, you know, they need, you know, these are two guys that are underrated.
Hey, you know what else? What else Wendy did? He got LeBron some MVPs.
He sure did. Got him his rings, got him his MVPs,
McDonald's All-American back in the day. Nobody would have known about LeBron if not for Wendy.
Nobody, those guys did not suffer from lack of attention.
He also got a certain Frenchman, his first Western Conference Rookie of the Year, Rookie of the Month.
Freudian slip. Up.
Well, I tell you, that race is, you know, we'll get to that later on. Tonight's an All-Star, but that Rookie of the Year race is going to be a humdinger, gentlemen.
Listen, Brian's discovery is going head to head. It's going to be very difficult for him. Except it's
Wendy's
going to
split the vote. It'll be like the J. Kidd Grant Hill year. Wendy's going to organize this thing to make sure the votes are split perfectly.
Make sure they're both standing there holding the trophy.
That's right.
Get two hands on it.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so we'll see two other All-Stars named in the East with Randall and Joel Embiid likely replaced. And I think you're right. I think Porzingis will have a strong case. Trae Young will have a strong case. And I think
your guy Jared Allen will have a strong case.
Typically what happens is unless there's some sort of critical mass at a position, typically, even though it's technically Adam Silver's call, typically he will just go to who is ever next on the list.
Yeah. The list of voting. So we don't know who that will be.
Yeah. It's not public. And I guess if there's a tie,
which is gutless, by the way, the media has to have their votes public. And I'm not saying you got to put the coach's name next to the votes, but tell us what the tally was. Tell us what the ballots ended up at.
I would agree. That's the second All-Star reform I would have. The other one would be that there would be more than 12 players.
15. It's time, dude. It's time.
Yeah. Well, I saw George Karl tweeted tonight that he said when the NBA expands in a couple of years, which is likely, that they should expand. I would agree. If you have 32 teams, you've got the same amount of All-Stars.
It's just you've got 15 active roster spots now. Right. I mean, it's like there's no reason to still be at 12. Go to 15.
Well, we've talked about it before. There is a reason. You know, there is a reason. But yeah, okay. So sort of depressing news about Joel Embiid. You wrote the newser on it, covered the Sixers and talked to Joel all year. Bontemps, a meniscus injury is how it's being termed.
Yeah.
And the timeline has not been decided yet. It was not a good sign, not only that he limped off, but that they sent him home from the road trip. Never good when you get sent home from the road trip, especially with a knee injury. And, you know, the thing about meniscus, I'm not an orthopedist, but, you know, there's multiple different things you can do. Yes. You can rehab it and not have surgery. Depending on where the injury is on the meniscus, you can have the meniscus trimmed, where the cartilage is cut away. That is a quicker recovery, but sometimes more of an issue long term. And then you can have it totally removed. I mean, I don't think they really do that anymore, but there was a time when they just took it all out and said, okay, bone on bone, enjoy your life. And then you can have it repaired, which it kind of depends on where on the meniscus it is. And the repair is a long term recovery. So Bontemps, that course of action is a pretty big thing hanging out there in the Eastern Conference right now. What's going to end going on with Embiid there?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, as Adrian has reported, they're going to analyze their different options and we'll see where things wind up. But ultimately, it's just a real bummer in general, right? Like Embiid has had such an unbelievable year, just scored 70 points last week. He's averaging more points than minutes played, scoring more points than minutes played, as we've talked about. And, you know, if you want to look at it optimistically, he's been dealing with this knee issue. I mean, maybe I shouldn't say this knee. He's been dealing with issues with this knee for a while. And, you know, if he can come back this year and get several weeks off, not off, but several weeks to recover now and get healthy, perhaps he can come back before the end of the year and be healthy. And going into the playoffs, he can finally have a healthy playoff run, which is what he's always wanted to do and never been able to. But there's also the possibility that this is just another year where one of the best players in the league and a tremendous talent is going to be banged up when it matters. And we're not going to get a chance to see what this guy will look like in the playoffs fully powered. And that would be a shame, because it would be, you know, it's just, as somebody who really enjoys watching high level basketball, you want to see the best players at their best when it matters. And we just haven't had a chance to see that with Joel yet. He's obviously a massive guy who's had a ton of injuries over the course of his career. And it's just bad luck and unfortunate.
Yeah. I mean, best case, like you said, is that he is able to be back, get his rhythm back before the playoffs roll around. You know, obviously the MVP stuff, that's over with. He's not going to play 65 right. games. He's not, you know, it's unfortunate, but that's just, that conversation is over with. You know, you can cross him off the list of candidates, as spectacular as he's been. It's just not a possibility at this point. So let's hope that surgery is not necessary. Let's hope that he can, you know, rehab that thing and be back sooner than later. And like you said, have a good.
Well, it's also possible he could have surgery and also come back. I mean, again, it depends on the nature of the surgery.
Yeah, that's, I, you know, 8 years in college, no medical degree, but I don't like those odds.
Well, like I said, I just, you know, hopefully he's able to be back by the end of the regular season and we get to see him in the playoffs, because it would just be a shame if we go through the playoffs and we don't get to see one of the best players in the league out there, because the Sixers have been a fun story. And, you know, they're in a dogfight tonight with Utah. They're trying to go through this road trip without losing all the games and trying to, you know, stay afloat in the East. What's been a rough period for them with all these guys out. And, you know, we'll see ultimately what happens. But, you know, I would expect that by the time we get around to the trade deadline next week, we're going to have an idea of how long Joel's going to be out. And it's going to be very interesting to see what the Sixers do. But I would assume, I don't know, but I would assume they're not really going to change their priorities that much either way, because regardless of what happens with him, they've got to me, still be showing him they're pushing towards trying to be as good as possible. That would see them make some moves to make this team better, but we'll see ultimately what happens over the next few days.
Yeah, Tyrese Maxey has 49. We're doing this right now and live. Maxey has 49 points, and it's a 1-point game in the last minute. He might hit 50. Has he had a 50-point game?
Yeah.
Anybody else has?
No, he had a 50-point game against the Pacers, which, like, who hasn't? But it was impressive.
No, it's still impressive. It's just more.
Yes.
It's just more frequent. Yeah. So the Sixers, I'm going to be honest with you. There's not a lot of buzz out there that I've heard, at least. I'm certainly not the arbiter of trade rumors, but there's not a lot of buzz as to what the Sixers are going to do. Sometimes you get a good feel, even if teams don't do it, you kind of get a feel, especially for a team that is expected to be so active. In fact, I've even talked to teams who are saying, you know, not real sure what the Sixers are going to do because they have a lot of options. They're obviously not going to say, okay, well, let's go get a center, you know, to replace Joel Embiid. That isn't a thing.
Man, they've got one. They got B-ball Paul Reed, baby.
Yeah, he had 30 in his first game where Embiid got hurt, but he has not had 30 tonight. But even if they do get another big man, it's not a guy that, like, you're not replacing him. But,
you don't think he's
going to
have
you're not finding another Joel
minutes.
Embiid. Yeah, you're not finding another Joel Embiid walking down the street.
I know, but I still, yes, you know, and I know that, but I still see fans say that, like, you know, okay, go get a replacement.
I don't think fans are saying go get another Joel.
I'm telling
Embiid.
You, I see
what
it
fans
happen.
Are you talking to? Like, where are you finding?
I'm
these
talking
people?
To fans.
He's
who...
out. He's out in the field. He's That's out in right. the field finding the fans out in the cornfields, telling them what's going on.
I'm definitely out in the field.
Can't you make, like, some kind of liquor out of? Isn't there a way to make, like, corn in the liquor? I think you're talking to those folks in those cornfields.
Listen, man.
Or maybe they're packing those corncob pipes.
Somebody has to go to interview players at five-star hotels. It's got to be done. Okay?
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah, they're coming to see Wendy at the five-star hotel.
Exactly.
I'll have you know that, well, I won't even say that.
No, you got to say it now. You can't have us know and then not tell us what we should know.
You know, when I went to interview Carl, I stayed at a a 3-star hotel. That when I mean, he wasn't staying. He was staying at a 5-star hotel, but I was staying at arguably a 2-star hotel. So just what you think, don't make assumptions there, buddy.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Good to know.
This reminds
me, Jackson. We'll get the violin out.
Seriously, I asked for some violin music last pod. You did not grant my request. If we can't get violin music, there might be a boycott.
Again, I am not, I am just saying it to correct the record because you are, you know, you guys tend to stretch it. The thing about the 76ers is they have to decide whether or not they want to protect their cap space. I know a couple of things. One, that this free agent market isn't that exciting. Two, that Daryl Morey is always two steps ahead. Whenever Daryl's doing something, you know that he's got some sort of plan. And even if the plan doesn't always work out, he always has got something going on. So I'm sure there's some strategy that he has mapped out that he's put a lot of thought into. But one of the things that they could do is, you know, the old pre-agency, where they basically do free agency before the summer by trading expiring contracts, which they have a lot of for guys with long-term deals. And there has been some interest in the league from other teams. Will they go that route or will they try to protect it? And, you know, I think it's also not uncommon for Daryl to negotiate late, to hold his cards in tight and then negotiate right at the end. And that might be one of the strategies that he's going on too, that he may not get serious. I mean, I was talking to one team today and they were like, we've got an endless amount of time between now and the deadline. And you do 7 days. I mean, there's a lot. And so, but the Sixers, if they think that they're going to get Embiid back, there's no reason for them to, like Bontemps said, to alter their plans. Mm-hmm. They should go forward and do what they're going to do. And the big challenge for them will be the bidding wars that there's going to potentially be, because there's not that much talent out there. And the one thing that is interesting that Bobby Marks tweeted about and that several executives have echoed to me is that all these teams that are trying to sell players, most of them want draft picks for them. Mm-hmm. But the teams that
the buyers,
they don't have picks.
Right.
And
Lucky McMahon, bring in the vocabulary. Big day.
Hey, if it's two syllables or less, I'm in good shape.
Right. The buyers don't have the picks. And the teams that do have the picks aren't necessarily incentivized really to be buyers. For example, the Thunder don't necessarily need to buy. The Jazz don't necessarily aren't in the market to buy. The Knicks.
No, the Knicks are an interesting one.
Yeah, but they've made a trade already this year as a buying trade where they didn't give up any first.
Like I said, the Knicks might move Fournier with some, they got a ton of second round picks. They got ways to move him to get a player, but they're saving their assets for bigger fish that aren't available.
Right. Yeah. But the nuance is that
the Spurs obviously aren't buying.
Right. The nuance is that the currency, the trade negotiations are hampered because there's a bit of a freeze in the movement of first round draft picks. And what Bobby said is that 75% of all tradable first round picks are in the hands of 11 different teams. And a big majority of these 11 teams are not I'm not saying they won't buy, but they're not actively buying. And this comes. And
then, several teams have none. Cleveland, Denver, Milwaukee, Minnesota, Phoenix, none.
More Hoop Collective podcast after this.
Vivid Seats wants you to get to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seat Rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code HOOP. That's code HOOP, H-O-O-P. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, experience it live. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems, with nothing on your roof. So who's ever up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, hoodie teenagers, girl-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
So with this leads me to what I'm bringing this up to, guys. I want to discuss the Lakers real quick, because Bontemps has been campaigning for the Lakers to consider making a trade for a guy like Dorian Finney-Smith,
mm-hmm.
because even though he is a role player, that he would fit on the Lakers and help them more than a player like maybe even DeJounte Murray, who's not an exceptional shooter, although he's having a good shooting season. And this is where you get into a challenge with this particular trade market. Because the Lakers only have one first round pick left to trade, which is that 2029 pick, they are under a amount of pressure to make it a major upgrade.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder for them to justify acquiring a role player with that last first round pick than it is to go out and get a guy who's been an all-star like DeJounte Murray. And so you have situations like this dotted throughout the league at this trade deadline that are slowing things down. And you know, and it's,
or you could argue that most of the trades just happened over the last week anyway, and that's really just going to be what the discussions are over the next week.
Yeah, I mean, there's already been a pretty decent flurry of activity, like the Siakam trade. You don't like calling it a blockbuster, but it's blockbuster-ish.
You know, OG trade, the star trades earlier in the season.
Pretty significant.
Dame, Holiday, James Harden.
Yeah, I'm not sure the injured-for-injured Grizzlies-Rockets swap qualifies as a blockbuster, but it was a trade at least.
Well, certainly an interesting trade.
Yeah, so that trade, Steven Adams got traded for Victor Oladipo and 3 second-round picks today. That trade just went official a few minutes ago. Oladipo is, I believe, out for the season, and Steven Adams is out for the season.
Yeah.
Really, this is a move by the Rockets to get a veteran, I assume would be a backup.
Yeah, he'll be a backup.
Alfie Şengün next year.
And, you know, obviously Şengün is their star, is their best player, but they see Adams as a guy who can play 20-ish minutes, probably on the lighter side of that. But what does Ime Udoka value, right? He values toughness. He values physicality. I mean, there's not a tougher, more physical player in the league than Steven Adams. And the risk is, how's he going to come back from this surgery and having missed basically by that point, a year and a half of basketball, but he's got 1 year left on his contract. And again, he is about everything that Ime Udoka wants to his teams to be about. And they see him as a guy who can really help them in that limited backup role. And then for the Grizzlies, you get a little draft capital, but it's a salary dump. I mean, they're ducking and dodging luxury tax moving forward next year when Ja's obviously on a max deal, Bane's on a max deal. Jaren Jackson Jr.'s, I don't have the number in front of me, but he's making 20-some-odd million.
Yep.
Smart's got a significant contract. And I'm not saying any of those guys are bad contracts. I don't think any of them are. But if you've got other significant contracts,
they also know everything about Steven Adams' knee condition.
Yeah. And I'm not sure. Well,
by the way, Maxey got to 50.
There you go.
Go ahead, Mipkin.
It was a strange saga with his knee injury that was originally supposed to be a 3 to 5 week thing, and then he wasn't going to have surgery, and then oops, he needs surgery. I'm not sure how much everybody was on the same page there, so it might have just also been time for those.
By the way, discussed pre-agency about Philly. This is pre-agency. That's a free agent move, essentially.
Well, here's the other thing about this deal, too. With Steven Adams, with Jalen Green, who will be in the last year of his rookie deal and is going to be an interesting guy to monitor going forward. And then the combination of Jock Landale, who's got a non-guarantee for next year, $8 million. Jeff Green, who's got a non-guarantee or partial guarantee next year for $9.6 million. And Jayshon Tate, who's got a team option for $7 million. Between those five guys, that's $40 million in salary, and all expiring. And, you know, the Rockets have been linked to you know, other players who have money for next year. They could combine some of those guys maybe to get somebody like that. And then all of a sudden, like we talked about the other day with the Knicks, the Rockets, who have all this draft capital and have been looking around for players, all of a sudden could have $30, $40 million in expiring salary with draft picks to
with
start offering around.
Draft picks.
Right. To start offering around for significant additions this summer. So
yeah, no,
that's another part of this to think about, too.
Yeah, they're star hunting, and you know they want to get to phase three as fast as possible, especially now that it's oh, hey, Şengün's a star caliber player. Man, Jabari Smith's really coming along. Ooh, Van Vliet's a leader. He's a winner. You know, Brooks is, you know, sometimes he does stuff that makes you shake your head, but he's helping them win games. So yeah, they if they could, they're going to be in the hunt for stars for sure. Whatever stars become available, they'll be aggressive. And with the Brooklyn picks, it's not just that they have some picks. They've got Brooklyn swaps that could be significant value in potential trades.
And I was personally a little surprised that they sort of let Memphis off the hook, I thought, in this deal. Because like you said, Memphis really needed to get out of this money. I'm not sure there was a huge market for Steven Adams' services. I thought Memphis did pretty good to get 3 seconds to get out of that money when they've got a pretty, like you said, they got a lot of financial stuff to deal with over the next 12 months. And for them to get out of that, was pretty big win for them, especially to get some assets back with them.
Yeah, I thought the era of the second round inflation might be over after last year, if we're seeing like Jay Crowder getting traded for 5 seconds and stuff, because that was a little bit wild, but maybe we're not. If Steven Adams, who's not playing this year and is in a salary dump, gets 3 seconds, maybe we're not.
I don't know, man. I know there's value in second rounders. I have a hard time giving a crap. I do think it's hilarious that
Better be ready to buckle in for night two of the NBA draft.
Listen,
coming to you live from the Seaport Studios in New York City in June.
The Thunder have 21 second round picks available to trade. 21.
Right, which is why it might not be the worst idea in the world to spend two on a rebounder or three.
Or 12. Who gives a crap?
Yeah. Well, they don't matter until they do. You know, that's the thing about second round picks.
Until you need one to seal a deal. I get it.
Yeah. But speaking of the Lakers, so they had an interesting day on Thursday. You know, when McTen gets befuddled, it's not a normal state of affairs. McTen has seen just about everything you can see with the LeBron situation. McTen got befuddled on Thursday when, you know, the Lakers had announced that LeBron and AD were questionable. That has happened a number of times this year, and they have played almost every time. Yep. They were coming off of a back-to-back where AD missed a game, but this morning AD went through shoot-around and spoke to the media. That is not something that would happen if a player is about to be ruled out. Maybe if he got out there pregame and like warmed up and it just didn't feel right, but going through shoot-around and speaking to the media is something you do on a day you're going to play. Dave was saying that LeBron was out there going through the film, you know, in the portion of shoot-around that was open to the media. LeBron was going through film, and he is, again, been questionable with that ankle soreness and calf's, I think it's shin soreness, for weeks now. Then they rule both of them out 30 hours after LeBron tweeted the hourglass emoji. And it certainly sent off some eyebrow raises.
Probably some eye rolls too.
Yeah. As I said, look, it's not my ankle. I did know this. Like, LeBron does believe that, and he has for years now, that he has a certain responsibility to fans. Mm-hmm. And he made the decision a few years ago that if he's 50-50, he's going to play. And if he's 60-40, he's going to play. He is sort of opposite of the recent trend on that. He plays. And this year, it's almost always been play. I think he's had a couple of times when he's been out with his ankle, but they were almost, I think, ruled the day before. I think if he's been questionable game time, he's gone. And I know that he has said, like, you know, he does it for the fans, except maybe for the fans in Boston.
I was going to say, there might be an exception in one city.
Yeah. I'm not sure LeBron likes to leave his hotel room when he's in Boston. And so I think that, you know, that was a little bit of an asterisk. But with the hourglass emoji, you know, what I'll say about LeBron is this. There have been multiple times in his career where he has pressured his team in whatever ways he does it, often through passive aggressive action, to make changes either in the summer or at the deadline. But it's happened at the deadline on a number of occasions. And no matter what you want to say about his tactics, whether this is a tactic or not, boy, did it feel like it.
But I mean, you're tweeting an emoji. It's a tactic. Yes, it's a tactic.
Okay. Of course it is.
I know. I'm just, you know, it's he's got deniability, but it's weak deniability.
No, he doesn't.
For the most part, when he has pushed his teams to make changes, it worked out for the teams. As much as you can say worked out,
no, you know, reaching the finals. We're not doing
oh,
that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. No. It's happened three or four times.
Okay.
Where he has pressured his team and gotten what he's wanted.
It's worked out on several occasions, but we're not going to say, we're not going to give LeBron GM credit when he was the one who was primarily responsible for the Russell Westbrook deal.
Oh, of course. No, I'm not saying that he hasn't contributed getting them into the situation. I want to be clear with that. I'm not saying that he wasn't a factor in why they need a midseason overhaul, but several times he has pressured his team to into stuff they didn't really want to do, and it has worked out for the team.
Did they did that Russ trade befuddle Mac 10?
I don't remember, but it should have.
I was befuddled. Were you befuddled, Bon Temps?
No, I wasn't. I just knew it was terrible from the jump, and I was correct.
You were very fuddled.
Yes, very fuddled.
Like, they fuddled it up. That's
even
sure.
Last year, his last year in Cleveland, 2015 in Cleveland, all these were times where he agitated for changes. They made changes, and those teams.
Yes, I was speaking to somebody the other day who was part of that 2018 Cavs team about that infamous night before the trade deadline when LeBron hit the game winner, and Isaiah was trying to celebrate with him, and it was very obvious that Isaiah was going to be gone.
Yes,
that was an all-time moment
is right. But look, again, like the Lakers are sitting at 500, like we've talked about. Those guys, they didn't play today, but they've been great. They've basically been available all the time. They're sitting ninth place in the Western Conference. Are they going to do something, or are they going to wait until June when they have three first round picks instead of one to do something then? We know what LeBron is going to say. LeBron's going to say it's time to do something now because it's always time to do something now. But let's see what they do over the next week. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
I don't have the words to articulate how much LeBron does not care about a 2030 pick swap.
Oh, yes.
I have the words. He doesn't care at all. The end.
It's less than that.
Complicated.
He cares less than zero.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, tell you what, though, Rob Pelinka has to care about him. And man, those can blow up in your face. You know, the Mavericks gave up a 2030 pick swap to get Grant Williams that sign and trade, 2030 pick swap with the Spurs. And I'm telling you, man, that's cause for concern.
Well, and look, it also is worth remembering the Lakers have repeatedly messed up their team building for years now. Yes, they did win the title in the bubble. Obviously, that's they flags fly forever. Never have to say you're sorry if you win a title, as Brian likes to say, all true. But the reason they're in this spot is because of repeated mismanagement of their roster, which is why their team isn't very good. And why we're sitting here again talking about, do they have to go do something at the trade deadline to try to make this team better? Because they're in the same position year after year after year. Because they keep making similar mistakes.
Well, they pulled a stunner and won in Boston. Austin Reeves was his game of the season. They really just had a super hot three-point shooting game is what they did. 19 of 36.
That will do it.
Yes. I'm not sure. I didn't really see any of the game, to be honest with you. I was locked into Cavs Grizzlies, if you want my honest assessment.
Showing his fandom.
It was a 2-point game
with like pom-poms out.
It was a 2-point game with like 6 minutes to go. You know, there were two-way guys playing for the Grizzlies, but that's not, you know,
dude,
that's
important. Every game. Like, I know. Scottie Pippen Jr. starts for them now.
Scottie Pippen Jr. actually played a very good game.
he's played well for him. Gigi Jackson didn't play well tonight, but he's been really good for him on a two-way
really good
deal.
Yeah.
Anyway, so the Lakers do get that win. The Celtics, by the way, have lost three of their last five home games. I think they started.
They were 20-0.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, I think the Celtics might be kind of counting down the days to the All-Star break, and they might need to snap out of that a little bit here. Although
Celtics, other than Jason Tatum, were 11 for 38 from 3-2 on a night. The Lakers were 19 for 36. Like, sometimes it's a make or miss league, and it was very much a make or miss game in Boston.
Yeah, well, they still have a 4.5 game lead over the second place team that has a winless code.
Right, they're not exactly getting pushed. They're not exactly looking in their rear view.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess the Knicks and the Cavs are coming, but they're, you know, the Bucks and the Sixers are their two prime rivals.
No.
Yeah. So, but still, take your hat off. Lakers got it done. And
that's a great win. I mean, look, yeah, especially with where things are at. I mean, we talked about the other day, they got a tough schedule. I mean, no LeBron and AD, nobody thought they were winning that game tonight against the best team in the league. And they go in there and win that game. They get back to 500. They come, you know, I'm sure I would expect LeBron and AD to play Saturday at the Garden. LeBron loves to play at MSG, you know, ABC Saturday night game should be a lot of fun. Like, you know, if they get that game, they're sitting a game over 500. They go to Charlotte, a team that's obviously focused already on the summer.
I mean, I wouldn't assume that the Knicks have won 9 in a row and have been untouchable.
No, I'm not saying they're gonna win the game. But
is this Mac 10 or Bond Temps?
Well, no. Listen,
the USWB. I'm just saying, where is he?
You get a surprise win like this. The Knicks are banged up. Like, if they can come here and steal a win, all of a sudden, like, you know, it could give them some momentum the other way. We'll see.
And all of a sudden, you got to flip that hourglass emoji, baby.
Say it and go the other way.
All right, before we go, it's February 1st.
Ooh,
actually, it's February 2nd.
Got to the important part, finally.
That means that we just had a whole month of NBA games conclude, which means that there was some clutch play. Cojones were called for. You know what that means, McMahon?
It is time
to shine.
Time for the segment that gives hang time a totally different definition, boys. Here we go. Cojones Factor, player of the month. I'm going to skip past the honorable mentions and get right to the brass, bronze, whatever you want to call it. Joker. It seems like forever ago, boys, but I don't think we're going to see a better buzzer beater then Joker getting the ball in the backcourt, taking three dribbles, pulling up right by the sideline about 40 feet away, Kevon Looney in his face, and banking that bad boy in San Francisco. The best buzzer beater we've seen all season. And by the way, I went back and watched that today. He celebrated that significantly harder than he celebrated winning the actual NBA championship.
Because that one surprised him. The championship, yeah, he knew he'd won for several days.
Yes, it was just pure joy. His clutch numbers, 31 points, 13 rebounds, 3 assists, and 25 clutch minutes, plus 31, 67% from the floor. Helped close out the Celtics when winning in Boston as a road team was actually an accomplishment. So, Joker, third place. The silver medalist here, and this is on a team that we haven't talked a whole lot about this year, but they are kind of quietly playing respectful basketball. Like, you know, they're playing okay ball up there in Portland, in Rip City, baby. Anthony Simons, 36, 8, and 5, 65% from the floor in 35 clutch minutes. Boys, nut cutting time, and as you know, that's a one possession game in the last 3 minutes. 17 points on 7 of 8 shooting. This dude beat Mikal Bridges off the dribble, game-winning floater in the last second, January 17th. And boys, Dame time came back to town, and you know who got it done? You know who got it done in Dame time? It wasn't Dame. Anthony Simons, another go-ahead floater. The go-ahead shot with 17 seconds left to spoil Damian Lillard's return to Portland. Anthony Simons, haven't talked
about how about Brooke Lopez looking off an open Dame at the end of that game
to shoot a 30-footer.
I don't care if we shoot an 8-footer. Yes. I mean that was quite a move.
It seemed like a Dame moment. It seemed like a probably should have had the ball in his hands.
I think,
but
you might be right.
Let's not harp on the Bucks.
All right,
you know, we wish our former colleague, longtime colleague, Doc Rivers, well there.
Many weeks of service, as Mike Breen said so perfectly.
Let's give Anthony Simons some props, man. Hey, the Blazers have won, I think, 5 of the last 9. You know, they're not rolling over. Chauncey Billups has those guys scrapping. Simon's been a big part of it. And then the gold medalist, a guy we have talked about a whole lot on the podcast this month. Boys, do you have any guesses? Been a hot, hot topic of conversation.
Shea.
Not gonna.
Not Shea. On the trade block.
Oh.
DeJounte Murray.
That's right. Of course, I should have known. He had two of them.
I'll tell you, listen, I'm not going to read his clutch numbers because they actually stink. But having said that, when you hit.
Hey, listen, this isn't a stats award. This is an eye test award.
It can be influenced by stats. The man had game winners in the final second or final couple seconds in consecutive games. Hit the buzzer beater over Markelle Fultz to beat the Orlando Magic. Next game out, he hit a game-winning pull-up three with 2 seconds left to beat the Heat. And
it was on Udonis Haslem night.
You're gonna ruin his night in Miami. You got some cojones if you're willing to take that risk, but I'm just telling you that right now. Udonis Haslem night, you know where he pulled up from? Right next to that E and Heat culture. Take that, you Heat culture. Take this. And that thing just flew over that entire paragraph in the paint. Swish. Right there, baby. DeJounte Murray, the cojones factor player of the month for January.
I think that's a very fair and fitting answer.
Did he make another one versus Orlando earlier this season? Hasn't he beaten the Magic? Like, I don't know if it was like last second. Hasn't he beaten the Magic?
I believe
twice?
He had another game winner earlier this year, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, I believe that is accurate.
I thought I remembered that.
The other great thing, going back and watching that shot against the Heat, is the ball's inbounded, and it's inbounded to DeJounte Murray, and Trae Young's looking over the bench like, call timeout. I think Trae would like the ball, but he was an eager participant in the celebration.
Yes, very he was. Good.
Well, I would just say that as the deadline is a week away, there's a couple of teams that, and this happens every year, but there's a couple of teams that sort of hold the activity of the market in their hands a little bit. Mm-hmm. And the Hawks are definitely one of those teams. Not just with DeJounte, but if there's anybody else in that roster, you know, there's been some speculation that they may, you know, look to get their payroll a little bit under control going into next year. They're going to have to pay Jalen Johnson. The guy's awesome. Yeah. And by the way, they don't have to dump DeJounte Murray salary wise. They signed him to a really good contract. A DeJounte Murray trade wouldn't be salary based. You know, that would be because the backcourt, if he and Trae Young aren't functioning at the level they need to, but it wouldn't be stunning. This is a team that has made a couple of salary trades in the last 2 years. And they got to pay some guys. So they are a team. They could do nothing, by the way, but they are a team that could obviously trade DeJounte, and they could even make another deal or two. The other team I think that to keep an eye on is the Brooklyn Nets. Nobody is 100% sure. Maybe the Nets are sure, or maybe they're not even sure. When you talk to teams, it's not clear whether the Nets are going to be buyers or sellers.
Yeah, they do have, despite not having their own, they've got plenty of picks. Yeah, they want to be aggressive that way, but. What's your thing about being a rebuilding team? Problem is you can't go into a rebuild when you don't own your own draft capital.
That's right. Well, I just say if you're in a rebuild and you don't know you're in a rebuild, they know they're in a rebuild. Trust me. Yeah. They kicked it off last year.
They just don't benefit from being bad.
Right. So that reality is a thing. So, you know, there has been chatter, like, would they move Dorian Finney-Smith?
Man,
would they move?
They are not coming down on the price. Now there's time to go, but
right. And you know, would they move Royce O'Neal for another perimeter defender? You know,
well, the other team is Chicago. Like, what is Chicago going to do? That's the other team too, because they have a lot of guys. Or if they decided to move guys, they could move them for, you know, whether it's Zach LaVine or Alex Caruso or DeMar DeRozan. Like, obviously, there's differing levels of interest in those guys, but they have a lot of players that, if, like you said, like sort of like Atlanta, if they decide to pivot towards hard selling, like, they could really be a team that shakes up the market quite a bit if two or three those guys end up elsewhere. They could look at it and say, you know, we could try to finish in the top 10 and try to make the playoffs and not do anything.
Well, so, and then I'm quite curious to see what happens with Malcolm Brogdon and Tyus Jones in particular, because I think those two guys can really help good teams.
For sure. You know, Tyus Tyus could be potentially interesting to where he ends up. By the way, one of the interesting teams is the Pistons. So you would think a team like Detroit, who is 6-41 as we speak.
Hey, illegal breathalyzer reading, though, baby.
They are 1.128
at the moment. Yes, that's his point.
That's Uber time.
Yeah, I'm just backing up
your Uber sponsorship.
By the way, Washington at 0.191. You know, that's an aggressive night, but that's still in that zone.
it's
because you have blown some 1-9-1s in your heyday, McKay?
Brother. Listen. Yes.
Listen, back when I met Bontemps when he was in his 20s, that man used to party. Now he's just, you know.
Hey, Bontemps would be blowing that at 6 a.m.
Anyway.
I would be? Okay.
Not anymore. Back in his prime.
Well, McMahon knows what I'm referring to with that.
Yeah. All right. Anyway, so there was some belief with Detroit that they might not actually sell because they did not want to be the worst team in NBA history. And that even if it meant that it cost them a pick or something medium term, they did not want to be sitting around having to look at retrospectives in 15 years. Remember that 2023-24 Pistons that won 8 games?
Dude, they already have to because they had that losing streak.
I understand.
They're already going to be an infamous team.
I got
you.
Yeah,
that's people would remember 8 a lot more than they do the losing streak.
But because the Pistons have won 3 of their last 10, doubling their win total, and they've now got 6 wins, there's a possibility that Detroit might actually be more willing to sell than they were 2 weeks ago. I know that logic doesn't sound like it makes any sense, that a team being historically bad, getting slightly less historically bad, would change their trade processes. But if you talk to people in the league, that is actually a concept that is potentially been positioned by the Pistons.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting week.
Hey, anytime you can be aggressive to chase double figure wins, I think you got to do it.
Listen, the all I'll tell you is that the Spurs are 10-38, and there are 3 teams that could potentially have a worse record than them. That's where we're at in the league. 2 of them are already there.
Hey, Pistons at Spurs is going to be one heck of a season finale. There might be some history on the line there.
Listen, all I know is Saturday night, I'm not going to be watching, Knicks, Lakers.
Okay.
Cavs at Spurs. Big one. It's a big one.
Listen, the Wembanyama,
hopefully Jared Allen can play for the Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama, MVP candidate number 1 versus MVP candidate number 2.
It's potentially
head to head. You want to go ahead and plug your Cleveland radio gig while you're here?
No, it's not necessary.
Not necessary because you're plugging it all the time.
it was a one possession game in the fourth quarter. The Lakers game was decided.
It if it was a 20 possession game in the fourth quarter.
I would not.
Are you still operating with a single TV setup?
A single TV setup.
Yeah, like you don't have multiple TVs
in my house.
Yes. No,
he doesn't even understand the question. In your TV watching area,
primary viewing room is. You don't have multiple TVs?
Yeah, because I can't watch more than one thing at a time.
Listen, Tim, this guy can't. If this guy's on the phone, this is something for the listeners. I'm sure Tim has experienced this. If you're talking to Brian on the phone, he gets a text message, you go, hang on a minute. And there's a 45-second pause while he taps out the response on the text message. Then he comes back. I was right. I'm back. I'm sorry. Had to do that.
That is accurate.
So he ain't watching 2 TVs at once. I can promise you that.
I can't do that. I remember like 10 years ago, I went out to Vegas and I went to one of those sports books where they had every NFL game at the same time. Yeah. It was hell. I had no hope. I was like a child.
So I've got 2 screens, and my goal in life is to get at least 7.
This is how LeBron watched. Like, this is what LeBron does at night. LeBron, when he's not playing, he turns on 6 games or 8 because he's got 2 college games on, and he opens up a 4-figure bottle of wine and he like computes all 8 games at once. and drinks wine. And like, that's completely I'm unable to even think about that.
Well, other than the wine and the computing, I can relate.
Yeah. Well, someday you'll have your 6 screens. Hey, if you have a phone and a laptop and a TV screen, you don't need anything else. I have been in Worldwide Wob's house when he is going through a night when there's like 8 or 9 games. He doesn't have 6 screens. He doesn't have the LeBron setup. He's got like a laptop, an iPad, a phone, and a TV. He doesn't need all that stuff. Overrated. All right. Thanks for listening to Hoop Collective Podcast. Congratulations, by the way, to Cojones Factor Player of the Month, DeJounte Murray. He is now side by side with Ja Morant, two guys just having a blast this season. I don't remember who won in November. You'll have to go back into the
such a prestigious archive. Oh, it was Steph.
Steph. Another guy having a blast of a season.
That's right.
You don't want to. Here's the real story, moral of the story is you don't want to win Cojones Factor Player of the Month. It means your season is a train wreck.
I guess so. Thank you for listening to it. Thank you to Jackson, our producer. Thank you to Bontemps McMahon. We'll be talking to you next week.
Adios, amigos.